I'm Richard Brindley, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hold on a minute, Matt, we should have started the podcast with this.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 13 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by Crown Ash Developments. If anyone didn't get that opening joke, you probably didn't see us on the One Show on Monday.
Who wouldn't have seen that? Come on.
I think there was an FA Cup draw going on or something at the same time. I don't think that helped.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out more about that.
We'll cover that later on in the episode anyway. As ever, I'm joined by Matt Hall.
Hello.
It's just you and me again.
It is just us again.
What have we got coming up on this week's show, Matt?
Well, we've got an action-packed episode for you today. We're going to catch up with the summary of Gloucester City, as well as Neil Smith's thoughts on that. We're going to have a little chat, as we've just spoken about, the FA Cup draw and what a big one it is. We'll talk a little bit about the Bromley boys coming out on DVD. We had two very special visitors to the club earlier this week, and we're going to talk about that. We look ahead to Boreham Wood, Braintree and Hartlepool. We look over the question that we asked you guys last week, and we give you a new question for this one as well.
Fantastic. First of all, we're obviously going to start with Gloucester in the FA Cup over at Evesham. Before that Saturday, really, we should probably cover the non-involvement of Joe Quigley.
Yeah, so that was not a good night at all. Unfortunately, we got some bad news, didn't we?
Yeah, so great week, podcast done, out on time, happy days. And then the FA informed us of the fact they had not received the contract cancellation from Maidstone.
Yes, so obviously the deadline was at 12 o'clock on the day. And unfortunately, with it being about 5:30 at the time, we were unable to...
By the time we were informed by the FA they hadn't received it, yeah. So that's been disappointing. A bit of a blow, I think, for Neil. I mean, I know that they'd prepared all week anyway without Joe. I think Joe had only trained on the Thursday for the first time.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Nevertheless, not something you want to hear before one of the most important games of the season so far. However, as everyone knows, Neil and the boys got the job done over at Evesham. Matt, yourself and David were on commentary duty over there. How was it?
It was good, yeah. It was nice to go back to Evesham almost 4 years ago to the day that we were there. And it was another tight game. Obviously, the game against Evesham ended 2-1 and the game against Gloucester 1-0. So it's very tight victories against a lower league side. They were a good side. I think we were the better side on the day. But it was nice to go back there. It's a really picturesque ground with lovely views.
And just the one goal in it. And like we said, Matt and David were on commentary duty. And here's a brief snippet.
Corner, the free kick's going to be taken slightly out of view, but it's near the corner. Yeah, the corner on the near side. It's going to be swung in by Frankie Sutherland or Frankie Raymond, one of the two.
One of the Frankies.
One of. I think it's going to be Frankie Raymond.
Yes, it looks like it is.
Frankie Raymond. Hope he's better than the goal kick that's the corner that was sent in earlier, sorry. Raymond sends it high and he sees it.
Oh, it's in! Again, Frankie Raymond, second week.
Frankie Raymond, he's done it twice in 2 weeks.
Almost the same goal, Cookie.
It's everyone. It's on the side of the pitch. It's, I don't know how to describe it. It's near the corner, mate. It's curled that much.
Incredible.
It is pinpoint and Bromley has scored. And it is currently Gloucester City 0, Bromley 1.
Good to see Cookie's got that cough under control.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Matt, not the prettiest of games, but like you said, job done.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough one. They were a physical side to, as well. The grass, as Cookie alludes to later on, was quite long. I think it was one of those typical sort of away performances where, you know, you battle hard. It's a physical 90 minutes and you nick it. And that's what we did. They were a good side and I think their position in the table, I think that they're a bit better than that.
Physical game. I think a few people commented about the referee. I think Neil might have said something actually to me afterwards about the
the game. I can't remember who it was. He thought she'd have got sent off, or...
Oh, okay. I must admit, I'm not sure. There were three yellow cards, obviously, for ourselves, though. Frankie Sutherland.
Oh, yes, Omar. So we're going to touch on new rules. It's called competition-specific sanctioning. So a bit like the Champions League, where you get a yellow card in the Champions League and they mount up, etc. Now, unfortunately, in the FA Cup, it's a very similar situation. So, like you said, Frankie Sutherland, Frankie Raymond and Omar Miguel all have a yellow card. If they were to pick up a yellow card in the first round game and we were to win and get through to the second round, unfortunately, they'd have a suspension and have to serve that in the next FA Cup fixture. A bit of a strange one, that rule. Not really sure.
Yeah, it is. It's new. It's coming this season, hasn't
it? Coming this season. I'm not really sure clubs have asked for that. I'm not sure where that's come from.
Odd one.
But anyway, like I said, Cookie caught up with Neil Smith after the game and here's what he had to say.
Neil Smith, congratulations. First round of the FA Cup beckons on Monday following a close fought 1-0 victory against Gloucester today.
Yeah, I thought we were worthy winners. I think we had chances as well. Keep pulled off a couple of saves and then obviously George going through and hitting the post at the end would have killed it off. But, you know, what I said to the boys, it didn't matter how you do it, just get in the next round, you know, getting that draw for the first round proper. We achieved it.
That's it. It was a half-fought game. Pitch looked quite long today and it was looking like the ball was sticking a bit.
I think they have two teams playing on it, obviously themselves and Evesham. So they got to, you know, protect the pitch. It was a little bit lumpy and a little bit long, but there was no excuses. You know, Gloucester put up a good fight. You know, they were a really hard team. We knew they would be, and I think we dealt with them in the end.
Fantastic. Fans, so many fans coming up to, well, to the West country.
Yeah, no, again, you know, the travelling support has been amazing. You know, I've said it since the start of the season, and they were in their numbers again. And, you know, that's as much as a thank you to them and their support for the whole of the season. And, you know, let's see if we can stay in there for a little bit longer.
Perfect. And it's been
a fantastic few games, you know, four wins and a draw at the last five games, and that's testament to the players. You know, there's disappointed players that are not even subs at the moment.
Yeah.
So I've got that competition for places, and you can see it out there. Everyone wants to play.
Talking of that, there were so many fantastic players today. Did anyone stand out for you in particular?
Standing out today, I thought George Porter was immense. His work ethic, you know, sets the tone for us. I thought Omar was amazing again. Johnny Goddard coming into that little 10 role at the last minute. I could go through them all. They all put a shift in for me. And we're going to need to do it again. You know, we will regroup. We'll see who we got on Monday. But our full focus now is on Boreham Wood next Saturday.
Perfect. And two questions in one. Home or away for the next round of the FA Cup, and big or small club?
Big at home.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Neil Smith, congratulations. Thank you very much.
What did Neil say there? Big club at home?
Is he some sort of prophet?
You managed to get that right. One thing I bet he didn't predict was the fact that he was going to be live on BBC One on the One Show on Monday night and he would be told the draw by one of the presenters. I'm not sure he would have predicted that. So for those of you who are unaware, myself, Matt Hall, Neil Smith, Mark Hammond, Chairman of the Board, Robin Santagleaves, and his two sons, Max and Jack, were all invited up to the BBC studios on Monday night for the live broadcast of the One Show they had. Who do they have on there?
Martin McCutcheon.
Promoting the Bromley Boys DVD, absolutely, which is out now. Quite surreal, really. Not quite sure how to explain it. We were a bit worried,
a bit of a whirlwind,
that we knew it was going to be the same time as the draw, so we couldn't work out how we were going to find out who we were playing anyway. And then when we were in the studio and once the live broadcast started, you sort of forgot what time the times. So when Neil was being interviewed and they were asking him a few questions, the last thing I expected was them to go, "Oh, by the way, here's a draw for you. Here's a result." And then when they cut to us live for our reaction, I've watched it back since. I've been sent a few funny videos and stuff mainly from people taking a mickey. But it was quite funny. It did make for good television.
It was very good.
For those of you who haven't seen it, it's a podcast, so we can't show you, but we can provide you with the audio. So here it is. Here's our performance on the One Show.
But we've got some genuine Bromley FC supporters, players, and part of the team right here. Including manager Mr. Neil Smith,
We won't talk about the dark times anymore about Bromley FC. Because things are getting better. You had a big result on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, we won on Saturday, 1-0. So in the first round of the FA Cup, that's getting drawn tonight.
Right now.
We're lucky to have you here, really.
Yeah, oh, you're so
don't
lucky.
Really
yeah,
want to be
yeah, no, we were going to be round the other table. But no, so we went to Wembley last year. We got to the FA Trophy final and took 20,000 supporters. So times have moved a little bit further from 1969 onwards.
Hey,
so,
Roy the Rover's Tale. No, never know, might make a film out of that journey. Yeah,
it's
who knows? It's written in the stars.
We've actually got a little result for you. Yeah. Peterborough United. That's who you're going to be playing.
First round.
In the first round.
Home or away?
Oh.
We don't know.
Oh.
We're excited.
I didn't realise that made a difference. Home? Does that make a difference?
We give and you take
home
away.
Home?
Yes.
Home?
Yes.
Home.
Yes.
Okay, The Bromley Boys is out now on DVD and download.
Home, 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 home.
Home, home, home.
That was brilliant. When she said Peterborough United, I genuinely was shocked. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And then I turned around because there were two women standing behind me went, "We're from Peterborough." And I was like, "Oh, wow, really?"
Yeah.
And then obviously everyone was asking home or away.
Yeah.
And then when she was saying, "Does it matter?" And then she went home, I didn't know if she was just saying flippantly, like just choosing one.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh my God, we're going to all celebrate the fact we're at home and then find out we're away or something like that. So
crazy, wasn't it?
It was quite surreal. And as I mentioned there, obviously, Dave Roberts, the Bromley Boys film made of his book, is out now on DVD. I think it's number one on Amazon for comedy or something,
yeah.
I think.
Well, that's quite an
fantastic
achievement.
And also on the subject of Dave Roberts, obviously, he's still trying to crowdfund for his new book. I think all the details are probably over on his Twitter, Matt.
Yes, so he's at The Bromley Boys on Twitter, and he's also quite active on Facebook as well, if you've got him on there. So, DaveRobertsBooks.com as well for more information. Get in touch with him.
Fantastic. While we're recording this, would you believe it, the live TV games have been announced? And would you believe it? Of course you would. We're not one of them, despite being... I'm not quite sure how all four of these games which I'm about to read out are somehow better than our game. Haringey v AFC Wimbledon, that's going to be live on BBC Two on Friday 9th of November. No doubt they're going to cover, obviously, the plight of Kingstonian and the fact they've been kicked out of their own ground. Anyway, Maidenhead United v Portsmouth has also been chosen for television. Port Vale v Sunderland, a massive League One clash there that seems to be mixed up with FA Cup romance. I'm not quite sure what's happened there. And Hampton and Richmond v Oldham Athletic. Obviously, to most of those clubs involved, Maidenhead and Hampton and Richmond and Haringey, best of luck to all of you and congratulations on your big show on telly. Absolutely fantastic. £75,000 there for all the clubs involved. With regards to TV, there is still a slight chance, as we read this out, that our game can be moved to the Sunday if it's chosen for extended highlights. I think the last email came around from the FA suggested that they were going to update clubs as soon as possible. So no doubt we'll hear about that shortly and we'll update the website and let fans know as soon as possible. I'm absolutely gutted, Matt.
Yeah, it is a real shame, isn't it? Obviously, what a week we've had, haven't we? But unfortunately, this just wasn't meant to be. It is gutting, isn't it? But hey-ho, we crack on with a big game. And we do our best to win it and show them what they're missing.
Okay, right, I need to be cheered up. Moving away from football, it's been a busy week at the football club. We've got to touch on it. I mean, you may well have seen the photos on Twitter. We made a bit of a joke about it. But we had two unbelievable footballing... I don't know what the word is. Footballers,
yeah,
basically, down at the football club.
Legends,
Matt,
of the game, yeah. So Ricardo Carvalho and Thiago Mendes popped down to say hello and met with Neil Smith. I had to get a picture as well. I apologise. I did have to do that.
You and Cookie did the same, didn't you?
We did.
It's extremely busy. I don't know exactly why they're here. We haven't exactly found out. We haven't been asked to draw up any contracts or anything yet. So we'll have to wait and see. But also this week we've had our soccer camp.
It's
the second one since we've brought it sort of back in-house and managed it ourselves. Matt, you can explain a few more details.
Yes, so it's been a really, really successful week for soccer camp. Our numbers have been absolutely incredible, and that's largely down to hard work at this end of us going into schools and promoting it and promoting it in our Saturday morning sessions as well. We're very lucky to have Matt Griffiths and Callum McGeehan as our head coaches, both of whom are very, very experienced.
They work within our academy.
They are academy staff, and Matt Griffiths is a youth academy coach as well with the JPL side. So it's really nice, as you touched on there, Jeff, to bring it in-house and to have a really connected feel to the club. And the first team paid a visit to say hello today, got a picture with the kids. There's a lot of them up there today, and it's nice to see some Bromley shirts as well.
Yeah, it's great to see the players really engaging with the kids up at the top on the pitches, and it's quite surreal. You've got players first team training on the 11 aside, and then right next door you've got the kids taking part in the soccer camp,
and they watched some of the training. What more could you ask for?
That's great. I think Matt, you managed to catch up with Matt.
I did.
Who is, like Matt refers to, he's running the sessions for us, and here's what he had to say.
Matt Griffiths, you and Callum are our head coaches for our soccer camp this week during the October half term. It's been a really good one so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a brilliant week, actually. I mean, the numbers have been fantastic. The children have had great fun. Every day's got a particular focus or a particular skill set. We look to develop that in the morning and take that head into a game in the afternoon in the competitive aspect of the football.
And obviously you had a few themes going on, in particular the World Cup theme. The kids really seem to enjoy that.
Yeah, so in terms of the themes, we look at a particular skill in the morning. So for example, on Monday we looked at turning, and afternoons is a World Cup afternoon where the boys and girls compete in competitive matches in a World Cup tournament.
And like you say, fantastic numbers this week, and it's been helped by a visit from the first team this morning. Great to see them.
Yeah, it's great for the first team and the first team manager to be a part of the community project that we're growing at the club with the half-term courses. So it's great to have them down, and a real inspiration for all the boys and girls to be part of that.
And I believe as well the boys and girls this morning got to watch a bit of first team training.
Yes, they did. So fortunately enough, they were training next door to us on the big 3G pitch at the back, and it was a great opportunity for the boys and girls to have a look over and aspire to the level of what the players are at Bromley Football Club for them to develop in the future.
And obviously we can't say too much, but there is a special guest doing the award presentations tomorrow. Again, just shows how close-knit this club is, doesn't it?
Oh, of course. I mean, to have the special guest tomorrow just proves to us how much support that we've got throughout the whole all areas of the club, really. So yeah, it'll be a brilliant day and a great way to end a special week.
Well, Matt, thanks for all your hard work, and we'll catch you again soon.
No, thank you very much.
Great to hear from both Matts there. Fantastic to see the soccer schools doing so well. And like you said, the amount of Bromley shirts now you see, even just in the high street, whether not just our academy boys, but youth players and supporters alike, it's brilliant. Moving back to the football, we always try and catch up with a different player every week for the podcast. And Matt, this week you've managed to catch up with Frankie Raymond.
Yes, one of the two Frankies. Always great to catch up with a really good speaker and a very, very good player as well. In his second season with us now, a very composed head. We just wanted to have a little general chat really about how it's been since he's joined. And here's what he had to say. Frankie Raymond, well into your second season with the club now. Amongst the other clubs that you've been at, how do you find it here?
Yeah, I've loved my time here so far. Obviously, the first year was a great year for the club, getting to Wembley. And I was happy to be part of that, and done well in the league, just fell short. And I think the squad that we're building now and the run that we're going on, we're looking to get to the even higher in the league. The support we have has been brilliant, home and away. And I feel like just around the club, not just the players, but the staff, the backroom staff, everyone. It's just one big community. And I've loved my time here. So.
And you talk about last season as a particularly successful one. Is that a springboard for future success for the club, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's put the club on the map. I think the support that we got at Wembley, the 20-odd thousand that we got, just shows where the club can go to. I think with the support that the club has got, I think it's going to be exciting years to be part of Bromley FC.
And you've formed, obviously, a good partnership with several midfield players in your time here so far. Mainly your namesake, Frankie Sutherland. Yeah. What's it like to play with the other Frankie?
Yeah, he's a great player. He's been nicking a few goals, which is a bit rare from him. But, as I say, we've got a squad littered with talent now. And there's a lot of fighting for positions and in midfield, every position, so which is a good thing to have. So as I say, it's good to have that amount of quality around the squad.
And obviously with the new stand going up as well, exciting times for the club on and off the pitch.
Definitely. As I say, the crowds we're getting, what they're doing with the club, what's going on behind the scenes, everything to do with the club, it's a brilliant time to be part of Bromley.
And everyone talks about the close-knit community at the club. Is it one of the best dressing rooms that you've been in as a player?
100%, yeah, 100%. I think that comes from the staff, and as I say, I kick that, but not just the players, everyone around it, the staff, everyone. Do you know what I mean? I think they embed that feel into the change room, and then that carries on through the players and bringing the right personalities into the change room, which is a big thing.
And just your reaction, obviously, to the FA Cup draw, well publicised, obviously the club being on the One Show as well. What's your reaction to the draw itself, Peterborough United at home?
Yeah, I think the boys, we all wanted a home draw, really. I think that was the main thing, whether it was a lower team or a higher team. And we've got one of the higher teams in the draw. But as I say, anyone that comes in knows that being for a tough game, and we'll fancy ourselves against anyone.
And obviously, just keeping focus on the two other home games, the league games before that, starting with Braintree and Hartlepool as well.
We've been on a good run of form lately. I think five games unbeaten now. So we'll be looking to carry that on. First and foremost, we'll look at Bournemouth away. But then we'll go on to the two home games. And as I say, we want to make this a tough place to come, which I think we are doing now, and we'll be looking to get as many points as possible on the board.
Frankie, best luck for the games and thanks for joining
us. Matt, thanks mate.
As Frankie touched upon there, obviously up next is Bournemouth away. I know how much everyone loves going to that ground. Matt, what are all the need-to-know details?
Yes, everything you need to know is on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. It is cheaper to buy tickets in advance if you are going to the game. So do have a look on our website. I've attached the link to the article on there for you to follow and save a bit of money.
How have our recent trips been there? I can't recall.
It was a 2-2 draw there last year. It's a mixed fortunes, I'd say. It's always a tough place to go. It is a fantastic pitch there, as a lot of you will know. It's the Deso surface. They lost.
Arsenal helped there, I guess.
Arsenal ladies, obviously. Ooh.
One of the first times I went there, I think it must have been back in George and Billy's day. I think it was an FA Trophy game. We went there. I think we were 4-0 down. I think it was 4-1 in the end. I think Nick McDonald scored. Anyway,
So they lost Angelo Belanta, one of their key players, earlier this week to Dagenham Redbridge. And they did, Jeff, obviously have an FA Cup replay during the week. Neil, of course, was in attendance at that, away to Dagenham, which they won. Josh Umera is the man I'm going to pick out as a particular threat, on loan from Charlton, big strong centre forward who's chipped in with his fair share of goals so far. So we wait and see what the delights will bring.
Brilliant. Are they? Are they letting you commentate, or do they charge you, or what?
No,
what
unfortunately,
are they doing this year?
They've
no commentary. Just
I must
text.
Say that they've been very accommodating otherwise, but unfortunately, they do demand a £50 plus VAT charge for a commentary, so there'll be no live commentary of the game.
Oh, we've got no budget. We blew that at the bar at the One Show, didn't we?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, moving on. So last week we were well organised, and obviously we had a question for everybody, didn't we? Well, luckily supporters had loads of suggestions for questions.
Well, we did ask them to, so you know.
And what did which one did we choose in the end? I can't remember.
It was Georgie Weaver, I think, who suggested the question. That was, what is your favourite away ground to visit?
Oh, and yes,
mine came to my head straight away, if you don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, go on, let's start with yours.
Bath City, Twerton Park. I just love it. It's a classic, really old-fashioned ground, and I've heard they're going to be developing it. I'm a bit gutted, to be honest, because it's just such a nice place, isn't it?
I think Georgie agrees with you as well. My favourite away ground is either Bognor or Bath. Lovely little grounds to watch a game at. At this level, though, it would probably be Chester. I must admit, Bath. Yeah, the old floodlights, everything about it is absolutely fantastic. Angie over on Twitter, agree Bognor is great, but think it's more about the mini golf than anything else. Always enjoyed a visit to Weston. Is there a seaside theme here? And hate to admit it, I like Prince's Park.
Paul H agrees with Angie on that one. He said he had a good time at Prince's Park. Cronenberg on tap got a bit messy.
Mash on Twitter, Bar City, a fantastic side terrace of discontent. It's so true. All you hear is groaning, moaning, but because it's under such a large roof and canopy, you just, the noise is
on the highlights non-stopping. From a few years ago, Jeff, you can hear the individual shouts from the bar fans.
I call me their gantry, it's so low, you just keep on hitting your head and everything.
I kept banging my head, I must say. Mark Tregent over on Twitter as well, a great question, by the way. My favourite away ground is Wembley, just wish we could play there every year. But seriously though, I enjoy visiting ex-Football League clubs, so I have to agree with the gentleman earlier saying Chester, and really look forward to Chester.
We've got Ted in the office. Ted's our kit man. A famous relation, I guess, actually.
Yes.
We should possibly cover.
Ted's dad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby Dennington.
Yeah.
That's going to get a few likes, a few comments over on Twitter.
Yeah, I think we've had some already on previous episodes, actually.
Favourite away ground, Ted?
Probably Wrexham.
Yeah, good choice.
Very good, yeah. Smart ground, isn't it? Yeah. And obviously the recent result there will have helped in the celebrations at the end as well.
How about, being kit man, how about best away dressing room so far?
Best away dressing room so far, Wembley.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah. I suppose so, yeah.
Wrexham's a good one though as well, isn't it? In fairness, Wrexham dressing room is quite large.
Oh, I'm having nightmares. okay, brilliant. Thank you very much, Ted. Back to Twitter. Did you just call cover, Paul?
No, I covered Mark Tregent.
Oh, brilliant.
Paul's been done as well. Not Paul Richer.
Paul Richer, my favourite away ground is probably Clarence Park, home of St Albans City. The fact that it had a tree growing up through one of the terraces, sadly gone now, was unique. It was too bad a place for results too, if my grey cells remember correctly.
That's a really good shout, actually.
That tree was in the terrace behind the goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I recall.
Yeah.
Didn't it stop him from getting promotion?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
It's a very nice ground, nonetheless. Josh Reed simply says Brisbane Road. And yes, understandable, that one, a very good ground at this
moment. Yeah, Colin Head, more recently Twerton Park, Bar City. An old school one was Green Pond Road, Walthamstow Avenue FC.
Mickey Crouch, Lords, St John's Wood.
Okay. Ian Lammer, Hampton and Richmond for me.
That's an interesting choice.
David, when Bromley were really poor, e.g. the Bromley boys, the best ground to visit was St Albans. After conceding the third goal, you could turn round and watch some bloody good hockey on an adjacent pitch.
Richard Sims has got another one as well. More recently, Maidstone, or as I like to call it, the Gallagher three-point stadium. The old Hewish Park in Yeovil and its famous slope, which is now a giant Tesco.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, everyone knows how much we prepare for these podcasts and how well scripted it is, and how much time we take to think about what our next question is going to be on the podcast. Matt, what have we thought of this week?
We have actually, Jamie Thomas has for us your worst away ground. But before we go on to that, I think there's one that's just come in, Lloyd Chambers. Having experienced such delights as Shelf on St Peter and Wivenhoe, I still think the first time we visited Prenton Park was that wow moment.
Blimey, yes.
Yeah, so Jamie Thomas has given us our question for the week. Thank you, Jamie. And that is your worst away ground to visit. So I'm going to have to think about that one. I haven't actually made my mind up on that one
yet. We're going to upset a few people there, I imagine, at some point. Great, so that was a bit of a change.
Yes, yeah, a bit. Just a bit.
I've forgotten where we are. What have we got next?
We have got drum roll.
Have you caught up with Gaffer?
I did, yes. But before we go on to that, obviously, news come out today that Bobby Joe Taylor has gone out on a month's loan to Dover, and I managed to catch up with Neil on that and a number of other things as well. Neil, starting off with things away from the pitch, we were on the One Show, particularly you were on the One Show on Monday night. What an experience.
Yeah, it was fantastic, you know, and I think it's recognition for Bromley Football Club. You know, same, I was on it, it was the club that was on it. And it just goes to show that something like the FA Cup and obviously the film, the book, the DVD of the Bromley boys just makes us part of the whole community that we're all involved. So it was an amazing night, you know, not been on it before and I might not even get on there again, but you know, while it lasts and promote the football club, you know, we're going to jump all over it.
And obviously we presented a Bromley shirt to Martin McCutcheon from the Bromley boys, and they did the draw live on air for us with a comical reaction as well.
Yeah, it was amazing. Obviously they were watching it for us and they told us that they would give us, you know, who we were playing. We just wanted to know where.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. But Martin was lovely as well, and you know, I think she said her boyfriend comes from Bromley as well, so there was that connection. And hopefully, I know she said she was a Chelsea supporter, there's a little bit of Bromley in there as well.
Definitely. Moving on to footballing matters, you've sent Bobby Joe Taylor out on loan to Dover Athletic today.
Yeah, he wanted regular football, and I couldn't give it to him, but I didn't want him to go fully. He needed some games. I needed him to play some games. Dover obviously were interested in him, and I think Hess and Nicky South all know him anyway. So yeah, it was good for us. It was good for him, and obviously they needed a player. So I've let him go for an initial month, and we'll see where we are after that.
And obviously focusing on the games now. The FA Cup draw itself. What was your reaction to the draw, Peterborough at home?
It's going to be very, very tough. Peterborough obviously second in the table to Portsmouth, so you've got two big clubs vying for that top spot. But to be at home, you know, that was the main thing for our supporters to come down and watch a League One side, you know, doing very, very well under Steve Evans. Hopefully it'll be a sellout, be a, you know, a fantastic occasion, and we just hope again they don't perform, we do, and we can get a result.
But before then, obviously the league games to think about, and that starts with Boreham Wood away on Saturday. Always a tough place to go.
Always, you know, Luke obviously getting them into the playoff final last year with the players they've got, they're always going to be difficult at home on a fantastic surface. But we go there, you know, we've got a bit of confidence, we had a really good run going, and we want to keep it going. You know, we've trained today, and you know, the boys are looking sharp and on it, you know, and I just hope that on the day again, you know, we do ourselves justice. We know that we'll have a following there as well, and want them to go home with smiles on their faces.
Neil, thanks for that, and best of luck for the games.
Thank you.
It wouldn't be a Ravens Weekly podcast without a catch up with Neil Smith there, so thanks as always to Neil for his time. Matt, I think we forgot to mention how people can actually give us their answers.
Yes,
to the
we did. So if you want to tell us what your worst or least favourite, maybe let's use the PC terminology here.
No, worst, go for it.
We'll let you decide on that one. You can
up there.
Get in touch by emailing podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, replying to the Facebook and Twitter threads, or tweeting us using the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Brilliant. I think that's all we've got time for today. I know everyone's waiting for news on the Peterborough fixture. We will have admission prices confirmed and all the details out tomorrow. Season ticket holders and those subscribed to the Ravens Weekly email newsletter will be the first to hear. It will appear on the website very shortly afterwards. Like we said, the game is still currently scheduled for Saturday, 10th of November, kickoff 3 p.m. It will be an all-ticket fixture. There is a very slight chance it could be moved to a Sunday for the extended highlights, which the FA, we understand, are deliberating now. Yeah. Hopefully have an update on that as soon as possible. I think that's it. That's everything at the moment. Don't forget Braintree, Hartlepool coming up. We've got two home games in the space of a week. If you haven't seen it on the website already, you can download a poster, put up in your workplace, college, school, whatever, wherever you think someone will see it. Big thanks as always to Churchill, the Glades, Bromley South Station, Cannon Cars. It's great to see the posters up. They're A1 size. There's two right at the entrance of Bromley South Station. Yeah, they've been fantastic.
Really
so it's great to see some of the bigger players in the town really getting behind us. And to be fair, I think our average crowds we've seen at the moment, I think we're paying dividends. So I think that's it, Matt.
Yes, I think so.
Fantastic. A big thank you to everyone who's listened, tuned in, downloaded as normal. I think we'll have Twitter updates still on Saturday.
Absolutely.
No
yes,
commentary, but yeah, there will be some Twitter updates. And like we said, we'll see you at Hayes Lane for Braintree and Hartlepool next week.
See you then. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from, in Bromley.